Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we study this first class about analyzing the scriptures before you teach. So we are going to be eye teachers. So the main purpose is to deliver the message, biblical truth. So we have to really understand what we read, and we really understand the truth. So basically, this is the tool. Every week, this is the fundamental. If I class not mention about scripture, then this is just a regular class, right? So we have to really understand the Bible we are going to teach. So we do our best because this is a whole lifelong learning process. We are not going to become an expert in this just few days, actually. And since this week the schedule are so packed, we have to learn so many things in 1 week. This is a very troublesome for someone, right? You know, because this is so far, I believe ITS is the most tight schedule in all our church seminar in the state. NYTS actually is very easy. Relax. You can discuss. If you are late, you know, people probably will not say things. You're okay. But ITS probably not. You have to really be examined and to become certified for certain qualification. So this is the whole week long. We have to, like a soldier in the boot camp, and every day you have to know what you are doing, and then mentally be prepared for every single moment, because this is the golden time. Because right now you are learning to be certified, right? So you have a goal, and then this goal will become a very important motivation for you to learn everything. I believe right now we are most of in a college or even graduate from college. We have gone through this. This pressure, learning pressure. So we know how to handle it. And of course, we have the best helper, Holy Spirit. And we have brother, sister to support each other. So we should be okay. So hope at the end of the ITS, everyone can get certified. So we can really be ready for teaching the I class. Okay, so introduction. We are going to review our basic doctrine about Bible. In our basic belief, the article of faith, 10 articles of faith, number 2, regarding to the Bible, right? So we have to really understand this scripture. Our mindset about the scripture will decide how much effort we put in. And we are not going to be deviated by other sayings. Because in the internet, there are so many different theories regarding to the Bible. Some scholar may be questioned about the truth of the Bible, even doubt about the existence of God. They may treat Bible just like a literature, but to us, it's not. This is not only the word of God, also is the only standard we can follow to receive the salvation. We are also going to go through a basic presupposition. So this is some of the condition we have to hold on, prepare ourselves so we can really analyze and go into this scripture to dig out all the message, the teachings in the text. So we not only know the literal meaning, but also the spiritual meaning. Okay. So regarding our basic doctrine, if we look at the hymn book or article of faith, number 2, the 10 articles of faith of TGC. In number 2, he said, the Holy Bible consisting of the Old and the New Testament, is inspired by God, the only scriptural truth and the standard for Christian living. There's a reference, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So this is just very, actually this is a summary. This is a summary of our belief in Bible. But there are a lot of content. You know, a lot of the details come out to this conclusion. So you have to go through it and really know about the essence, why Bible is so important, right? So the Bible is inspired of God. It's inspired of God. It is God's work. So God inspired human agents to write down his message. So God is the real author of of all the books, right? So every single book, even just a letter, Philemon, for example, or just Obadiah, it's very short, one chapter of the scripture. We consider this is the word of God. Take the same weight with the book of Isaiah. We have to treat it equally. This is how we believe. This is what God says, right? So all the books are inspired by God. So it is plenary, that is completely inspired without degree. Meaning the inspiration to the author put down the genealogy in 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles, right? There's a whole bunch of names, right? Family, who begot who, right? Whole bunch of the name. This work is inspired by God. The same with the Holy Spirit inspired Apostle Paul to put down the book of Romans, right? Because this is, we call it everyone being inspired by the Holy Spirit. No so-called different degree, because they are all in the Spirit. And this is what God used them to write down the message for humankind. Okay, so this is the first. Second, the Bible is complete, mean the 66 books of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it is complete. This is the only scriptural truth. So there is no so-called addition, no revise. The Bible doesn't need to be revised or appended. This is not enough, so we have put on the top. No, it's complete already. That's how we believe. This is very important. Just like God, they put a framework. This is the boundary. Everything regarding to salvation, it is enough. It's enough. Okay. So progression of revelation only possible within the canon, which is these 66 books. So on any revelation out of this scripture will be rejected. Okay? So continuing revelation. Continuing revelation. Some churches, some denomination, they proclaim, they continue to receive revelation from this divine revelation from God. So they keep it on it. To teach us regarding this, we don't accept, we reject. So Jude verse 3, huh? This is an important verse, I read it. Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So the faith which was once delivered, once, only once. So in this truth. This is why the revelation has complete regarding to salvation. So we have to be careful of any other theory or so-called truth. It's actually is health and heresy. Okay, so this is number two. The Bible is complete. Number three, the Bible is infallible, inerrant, holy, fully true. Okay. So the scripture is in has inerrancy, not any error, not any content contradict to each other. So because we believe this is what God said, right? So this is God's work. God cannot lie. He breathed forth pure truth. Whatever God said is true. So this is the true God. So that's why everything what God said, we believe. Believe. This has been recorded in the Bible. So the scripture cannot be broken. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 35. The scripture cannot be broken. Of course, in book of John, Jesus referred to the Old Testament, the scriptures in Old Testament. Okay, so this is what Bible is so important. It could be, it is our only standard. Number four, the Bible is authoritative because the claims that it makes are true. So the word in the scripture, it contains the verbal word of God, right? God said, just like on the mountain of Sinai, God talked to Moses, God used his finger to write down the Ten Commandments. So in the scriptures, it contains God's word, God's writings. He inspired his sermon to write down his work. So that is God has communicated specific words. This is what it is so important. God deliver, especially have someone to deliver the message to man. And that is our standard. So I think there are so many verses we don't need to go to details because we don't have time. Okay, so this is number four. The Bible has authority. So it is powerful because it's the work of this word of God. Whatever God said, then it is. So God used his word to create the universe, right? So it's so important we understand this proclamation about God's word. Number five, the Bible is comprehensible in its central message, which is the salvation of God. It is sufficient for men to follow. So whatever human being need for salvation or to know God's attributes, the Bible has enough. So this scripture has enough, sufficient message from God. So this is especially for our salvation. Bible is not the scientific book. Bible is not a so-called story, right? It's not a book for miracles, no. It's a combination regarding to salvation. So this is whatever God said, God had purpose. He want men to understand. So Bible is comprehensible. If we read it, we understand. This is actually is different from other denominations. Some denominations, they insist ordinary people not encouraged to read Bible at home. They better to go to chapel to listen to the minister to deliver a message, because they may interpret the passage, the message wrong, right? So they use this way to control it. Everybody just follow what the church said. But to us, we encourage everyone to read Bible at home. Why? Because we need have Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. It's very, very different from other denomination. Most of us, you know, as a teacher, we all receive Holy Spirit. We know how important Holy Spirit can inspire us, can comfort us, give us the strength, wisdom to understand and have power to do it. Okay. Number six, the Bible is authenticated by Jesus Christ, because Jesus said about the scriptures. So we believe what Jesus said. Jesus is, he is God, you know, it's fresh, right? So in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, the word come out from his mouth is life. So Jesus mentioned about the law in the Old Testament, right? The law. All the law will be fulfilled in him. He mentioned about the history. So Jesus mentioned about the miracle of Jonah, right? Jonah has been put into the belly of fish 3 days and three nights, right? So since Jesus already mentioned about what happened before, we believe this is true. The same thing Jesus mentioned about Daniel, the book of Daniel, right? The book of Jonah. These two books, you know, some Christian, I think it's because of some scholar, they question about the date. They come up with a theory, say this is not the real story, because they can analyze in all different kind of the reason and to say this is just someone, you know, make up the story, or someone put a name in it. But to us, it's not so. Jesus mentioned about a prophet. Jesus mentioned about Psalms. So that's why this Bible is authentic. It's real. Number seven, the Bible is necessary for knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ, for knowing God's will and the standard for spiritual life. So the Bible is an objective. It's not subjective, it's objective. Objective. It's concrete, very solid teachings, no ambiguous. Yes is yes, nay is nay, right? So propositional revelation on man, to man. So when God revealed his revelation, he carried out the purpose, a special subject, you know, for what teachings. So we can search, just like as I teach you, the Bible gives us the standard how to become a faithful teacher. Why teachers are so important, right? They carry out a very divine responsibility for this kingdom of God. So any subject you can search in the Bible to find out the scripture, what Bible say about this topic, right? So almost in every subject we can go to search for the scripture to see what Bible say. So this is a necessary document we rely on. It's only standard for our Christian life. Okay, this is basic doctrine. Let's go through the basic presuppositions of the interpreting the Bible. Because now is a matter, how are we going to interpret the Bible? The Bible, for example, in English, whoever understands English can read it. But people may interpret in different ways, right? According to their culture, background, or their understanding about the literature. They may come up with a different view, or they may apply into different degree. So it is true regardless of whether it speaks subjectively to the individual or not. Just for example, God used Balaam, right? Balaam, to deliver message. Right? So God talks to certain people. The message is also applicable to any human being too. So it is true no matter how the individual may feel about it. God rebuke, right? God rebuke someone. If you are rebuked, you feel bad. Just like Balaam has been rebuked by the donkey. He was greatly rebuked. And of course, when Balaam, he recognized the angel of God is on the way, he feels, I'm guilty. Once he recognized the situation. But this is true. No matter he feel good or bad, right? This is what God said. Same thing to us. It is true, no matter what mark the reader may seek to place upon it. You may consider, this verse, I like it. But someone may have different opinion. Doesn't matter. No matter who you are, what verses you want to put, it's always true. Always true. So this is the, we can see everybody can be benefited through reading the scripture. So it's true for every individual in all times, in all places, without exception. Everyone, every single one. There are no contradictions within that body of truth. So Bible, so far, no one can prove that within the scripture, any fact actually contradict to each other. No. If we don't understand, that is our problem, not the problem in the Bible, because we don't get it. So sometimes our understanding, we are not that smart or intelligent enough to find out the meaning, right? So problem is in us, not the scripture. So in this case, then we just study, pray, and then we ask Holy Spirit to inspire us so we can understand later. Okay, so this is, I think, it's very important. Okay, next. Basic principles for interpreting the Bible. We're talking about the principles. So once we have a clear mindset, then let's go through some principle. It's very important. In the topic, we say we analyze the scriptures. Analyze means we understand the meaning. Then we try to abstract something out of from the text, right? So before we can analyze, we must have a basic principle to hold on. Then we can interpret first. So for interpretation of the scripture, this is called hermeneutics. It's in Chinese, it's called 释经学,解释圣经. This actually is a science and also art of the biblical interpretation. Science because it is guided by rules within the system. So in the seminary, this is a very basic knowledge. This is from very beginning, all the students have to understand hermeneutics in order to get in depth about the scripture. So there's a rule they have to follow. Otherwise, you're just out of boundary. You don't get the real meanings. It is also an art, right? Because the application of the rule is by skill. Yes, it said a rule layer, but how are you going to apply it right? You use the rule to read in different books, right? So sometimes we have this kind of understanding how to have a flexible, and also sometimes we have to turn the way around and to find out, oh, this actually is what it means. So this is art. Art is sometimes the creativity, right? You create a certain way to reach that. Okay, principle number one. Principle number one. One interpretation of the Bible. One interpretation. How many interpretations of the Bible? This is a question. Because this scripture, for example, we regarding to our basic doctrine, water baptism, for example. We cited the scripture, the verse, to proclaim baptism is for the remission of sin, right? According to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Some Christians, they interpret in different way. They consider this baptism is not really for the remission of sins. They come up with a different doctrines. But to us, we believe in this way. Which one is right? But what does Bible say? This is the most important. We have to find out. Because whatever the author says must have the reason. So what is the author's original intent? And what is God's message? So only one interpretation. We may not find it out yet, but there is basically only one interpretation. We want to get that true meaning from the scripture. So, just like any other important document, right? It's not open to a multitude of the interpretations. There is the one and true interpretation, right? Say the proclamation of the independence, right? July 4, for example. I think most of you study for you grow up in the state. You all study the document, right? How many interpretation? Only one interpretation. You are not going to say, oh, I look at this document and then, oh, this is not true. This is actually, they want us stuck to UK. They want to become part of UK, right? No. It's just only one, independent, right? So this document, only one interpretation, and which is true. Just like someone, rich man, before he passed away, then he put his will, right? He put his will. And I want to divide my belongings or the possession, one third to this son, two thirds to the daughter. This is only one result, only one interpretation. You cannot divide. Interpret, probably he's not this mean, right? He means other ways. No, only one interpretation. This is how we understand, and we don't make ourselves a hard time. You don't have to guess this because only one meaning there. But under the only one interpretation principle, our goal is to find out accurately the full mind of the author on any issue he wished to communicate. I think this is a common sense, right? Our goal is to find out what is the true meaning. Because every author, they have their agenda. If you read the work of the book, you know, someone published a book, then you read it. Then the author have an intention to deliver a certain thought, right? So then we find out, after we read the whole book, then we understand, oh, what the author is trying to say. Then we got the point. We fully comprehend about what the meaning, right? Same thing with the Bible. So this interpretation is important. So what a message means is fixed by the author and is not subjected to others by readers. Meaning is determined by the author, but it is discovered by readers, right? So different readers may read different ways, but the author always have only one purpose. So we have to rely on Holy Spirit help us to find out the only one interpretation in the scripture. This is very important. So sometimes we may go online to look at the other churches' commentary about the books, about the scriptures. Be careful, because sometimes what they say, what they interpret is not what we believe according to our best belief, our best doctrines. So we have to discover it, what the author say. In order to divide the Bible rightly, we must interpret it within exegesis. This is the theological term. Exegesis means drawing the meaning out of the text. Drawing the meaning out of text. Because the author already put on, right? This is complete. For example, for the Romans, Bible already said, the righteous will live by faith. Okay? And then we have to find out what is righteous? What is faith, right? We dig it out, but not exegesis. Means you impose a personal meaning onto the text. So sometimes we have our preconcept. Our percept is in this way. And then we read Bible, and then we bring our concept into, and then use the scripture to support what we believe. It's totally wrong, right? So we cannot import our personal thought into the scriptures and then say, this is, I believe. This is very important. Everyone, when we read Bible, we have used this right concept. Always, always be faithful to the scripture. Find the meaning and take it out. Apply into our life, and then we use our talent through the guidance of Holy Spirit to deliver to the students, right? Depending on the ages, if the E1 students, they don't know about too much details, right? But to senior class, to all of the adult members, all time members, then we have to use different way to explain for them, right? This is our job. We have to deliver the message. So let's understand it first. It's called exegesis. Okay, for example, one passage of scripture may have a fuller sense that involves multi-layers of subjects. Just like in Psalm number 2, Psalm chapter 2, Psalms chapter 2, basically, it's talking about the Christ, right? Jesus Christ, prophesies Jesus Christ. This psalm has been cited 7 times in New Testament. Because we don't know subtitle, huh? But someone may say this is probably from David, King David. This is some emphasize a lot about Jesus Christ. Means size 7 times, you see. From book of Acts, Hebrews, Revelation, they all refer to this chapter. So you can see how the text has been fulfilled in different places. You know? Because in these seven references, they all cite in different verses to support Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is Christ. So that's how we understand. Sometimes the scripture contain multi layers of meaning. So it could be fulfilled in history, but also mean going to be fulfilled in the later time. So regarding to the message, we have to have this basic understanding. Bible is a word of God. Sometimes talking about the future, this is called prophecy. Okay, so distinguish it carefully, the interpretation and the application of the Bible. You know, we can apply it in different way. The same verse, we can have different application, but only one interpretation. The meaning is there. Then we apply it in different circumstance to different person, okay. So while there is only one interpretation of any given passage, yet there may be many resultant applications, all right? So we can apply it to kindergarten or kindergartner or to the college youth. Okay, so this is principle number one. What the Bible means is called interpretation, right? What the Bible means. What the Bible means to me. Bible means to me. This is about application. So make it clear what the Bible means to me. To me, I can apply it. So this Bible can mean to you in different way, okay. But only one means. Bible means has been decided. So just like Jesus blessed the little children, right, in Mark chapter 10, you can apply different ways in this passage. The parents, they brought the children to Jesus and wished Jesus to bless them. And then the disciples, they just rebuke the parents. And Jesus specially mentioned, let children come to me. And then Jesus, he pressed them, hold on them, and then lay his hand on them, and then press them. This message can have different kind of application. You can use this passage to talk to the parents. You can use the passage to talk to encourage the kids, right? Or use this passage to rebuke the disciples. Apply to, if we consider, someone say, the younger kids, they may make noise during the service. So just ask the children, go out to the dining hall and watch the on the screen to avoid to disturb the older in the sermon, during the sermon. Someone may say so, but you can use this verse to say, no, Jesus said, let children come to me. So have children sit in the chapel, listen to the sermon. Okay, right? But what Bible said about this case, we have to find out. We by study the text, then we will know what real meaning in Jesus saying. Okay, so important note: interpretation must precede application. So interpretation first, then apply it. Okay, don't make it. Don't make it opposite. Oh. So people may make it grace at a passage of scripture, yet spend much time in subjective speculation about what they believe they should do. So if we don't really understand the scripture and then we apply it, we may apply it wrongly. And that it will just make people mix up. As an IT teacher, we have to make sure we really understand it, then we apply it. So this takes time. It do need a lot of prayer to understand the meaning in the Bible. Any questions? I think this is the principle number one. Okay, continue, right? Seems we time's up. So should we just stop here? One more slide. Let me finish. Application must have explicit support from the correctly interpret word of God. So means the application cannot contradict to other truth. You apply this truth, this scripture in this area, but what you apply the application cannot contradict to the New Testament, for example. Right? So David, for example, David sinned against God, right? In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12, it describes the details, the process, how David sinned against God. He ended up committing adultery. He became a murderer, right? He's still alive. You know? But he still was a king, right? God didn't remove him from the kingship. He still continued as a king, even though he was a sinner. God angry, showed anger to him, right? Okay, now, after David repent, right? Sincerely, and God forgive him. Right? The story you know, right? Can we apply the case of David to our in the church? If someone in the church, for example, minister, commit sins, serious sins, death, you know, the sin to death, then can the person just cite the scripture to support? Okay, God forgive David. What do we want, right? God seems to forget. Then why not the minister can still serve in the church? Can we apply in this way? No way. Why? Because in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy, the book of Titus, already mentioned about the elder, deacons, right? Or the apostles, what are their qualifications? Must be perfect, blemish, right? They have to holy. So this application would be wrong because New Testament already give us a different standard, a higher standard, right? So this is how we have to pay attention to application. So regarding to our servitude or the salvation, we have to always get the support from the New Testament. Because this is in the New Testament. Jesus fulfilled, make a fulfillment about the law, but he set a higher standard for all the disciples to follow. Okay, so this is the principle number one. I think it's 9:10 already. Should we just stop here? Huh? Okay, so we are going to continue tomorrow. And then we are, because we have how many hours? About 7 hours, right? Until Saturday, we have 7 hours. So because the class divided, we have two sections for studying the character, two sections for event, two sections for passage. So we probably will not do it in this way because we have to understand the principle first. But tomorrow I will give you some homework to do regarding to character. So we will go through the how to study the character first. So we will divide the class in order to give you some idea about character. We'll go through a little bit of introduction first, but at the same time we also will continue to study the principle. So in this way you have time to study and then have a practical way to study yourself. Okay. So this conclude this evening class. Then we say silent prayer. Pray in silence.
Let us turn to Proverbs chapter 22.
请看第六节.
Verse 6.
箴言22章第六节.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6.
他说：“教导孩童使他所当行的道，就是到老他也不偏离。”
Verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
这个是我们 RETS 的。
This is the first central law of our this RETS.
我记得我以前在台湾参加 RETS 的时候，张学轩的时候，那个老师就一直讲这一段。
I remember when I attended RETS back in Taiwan, the instructor talked about this verse.
我们在教导孩童使他走当行的道。We
train up a children in the way he should go.
他呢，这个孩子到老他不会偏离。
And this child, when he is old, he will not depart from it.
所以这一段圣经节，所以可以让我们知道，我们今天参加 RETS 的，我们要努力去追求的方向。
And this verse gives us a direction that we must pursue in this year's RETS.
能够做一个好的宗教教育的老师。
You must be a good RE teacher.
好，我们除了我们认真学习以外，
apart from studying hard,
我们在祷告当中下功夫。
We must
从祷告上面。 下功夫就是用力去祷告。
We must use our strength to pray.
从祷告当中得到能力。
And we must receive power from prayer.
好，我们现在一起来祷告。
And let us pray.